Chapter 13.
She wants to kiss you. She wants to love you. She wants to make babies with you.
Valerie crooned all sing-song from the back of the wagon. We'd left the mines a few hours ago, and now the three of us were on our way to the way station. By my calculations, we were almost there, and I was sure that the courier hadn't reached it yet. The town where the Browning family lived was a 2-day journey if a horse was ridden hard, and the men delivering a letter would have to make a few stops along the way. The way station was the last stop before you'd reach Edenheart, and I knew for sure that the man and his guards would want to rest before he had to stand before the Duchess. Daisy sat next to me in the driver's seat. Valerie laid sprawled out across the bed of the wagon and occasionally petted the metal box underneath our seat. The imp inside of the container squeaked and hissed angrily, but after a while it barely made any noise each time the blonde touched it.
I'm so happy! Josephine loves you!
Valerie, I seriously doubt that, I interjected.
I saw it in her diary! It was written in her own handwriting. There's no way that we can shrug it off.
But what does it matter if she has feelings for me? She's an aristocrat. It's not as if I can act upon it.
Even if Valerie hadn't seen Josephine's private journal,
Daisy broke in,
I do believe that Miss Josephine is partial to you. She even admitted it herself when she was inebriated.
I understand that, and it is flattering, but both of you are forgetting the most important part. There's nothing we can do about it, not the three of us, nor Miss Josephine. She's a wealthy, powerful woman in the city of Edenheart. It's not as if she can go around telling people that she fancies me. As she told me, if she were to breathe a word of it to anyone else, her titles, land, wealth, and mines would be stripped from her in an instant.
But it's just so exciting,
Valerie pouted.
Miss Josephine would be the perfect fit for a new sister.
Val, we've already been over this. We cannot make Josephine into a monster girl unless she wrongs us or does something to put our family into jeopardy.
We understand what you mean, Charles.
Daisy agreed, clapped a hand over Valerie's protesting mouth, and smiled softly.
We will drop the subject. But I would like to point out one last thing. Isn't it fantastic that despite the social structure of your world, the repeated abuse of male sex, and imprisonment of innocent brute lives, Josephine has fought against it and felt intense emotional things for those that are frowned upon? I find it to be incredible. She grew up in this world that hates men from birth, and yet some part of her, deep down inside, looks upon them with admiration and, may I even say, love?
I just love her so much,
the feline woman giggled. You haven't even met her. How can you know that you love her?
It doesn't matter if I haven't met her yet. I've read her diary from front to back. I know her inner, deepest thoughts and desires. I'm sure that once we meet each other, we'll get along famously. I stood in the shadows while Daisy and Josephine talked, and I already know that the two of them are good friends. If only you would give us a chance. Oh, the humanity, Charles! Depriving your first monster girl the opportunity to have a third sister!
Excellent dramatic performance, I tittered. But no, as much as I want to make both of you happy and give you the things you want, that can't happen yet. Josephine is nothing more than a kind woman who has some interest in me, but other than that, there can be nothing between us.
I do have to admit that it is a bit sad,
Daisy sighed.
The two women you've used in the experiment either wanted you dead or wanted you as a servant. We can only use women who are against our mere existence. I do wish we could find someone willing to go along with our experiment.
But can you imagine how insane that would be? Imagine explaining it to someone. We need you to get in this compartment in this massive machine. I'll place a beast within the other compartment, place a small sample of my blood in the middle compartment, and then wham, boom, bang, you're an entirely new being with a new personality, body, and spirit. Can you imagine me saying those exact words to Miss Josephine? But not only that, what do you think her reaction would be? The poor woman would be horrified. I just know it. And all of those emotions and feelings tied to me would instantly disappear.
I guess you're right, Charles.
Daisy breathed.
We can never know what her reaction would be, but we can only assume that it wouldn't be good.
Well, since I'm the only one who's read Josephine's diary, and I'm the one who found her collection of naughty books,
Valerie interjected,
I would like to say I know her a bit better than the two of you, and I think that she would accept us with open arms. She's already such a kind person. I bet if you, Daisy, were to reveal that you're a Bear Girl, Miss Josephine wouldn't care at all.
Yes, Josephine is a kind woman, I agreed. But I think you're pushing it a little too far. As Daisy and I both said before, we can never know what her reaction would be. And just to clarify, Valerie, we're not going to tell her. Not unless something drastic happens.
Oh, phooey,
the blonde woman grumbled.
I know you're trying to protect us, Charles, but I really do believe that she'd protect us and our secret.
As much as I love you, Valerie, there are certain things in this world that I cannot give you. If Josephine were to disappear, there'd only be more problems for us.
Then what's the difference between us using Delphine?
The cat girl asked.
Or plotting to kill the Duchess. They'll go missing once we do, and then you'll probably be the suspect. We already saw what happened when you were suspected of killing Delphine, and it'll probably be much worse once we take down Edeny.
Josephine isn't a direct threat. She hasn't done anything wrong. In fact, she's the kindest aristocrat we've come in contact with. We just can't, Val, and that's final. Do you understand?
Yes, Charles.
The feline woman sighed.
I'm sorry if I upset you. I didn't mean to be so argumentative. I just love Josephine so much.
I know, my love. If I could figure out a way for the two of you to meet without her suspecting something, I would. But your tail and ears pose a problem.
I wish I could just wear a bonnet like Daisy.
The ash blonde woman pouted.
But that still leaves my stupid tail. I can't hide it under dresses or anything like that. It's too long.
Hey!
Daisy cried.
Don't call your tail stupid. I love your tail. It's so sleek, soft, and pretty. I love the way it moves, especially when you get excited.
I know,
Valerie murmured.
But I can't hide it as you can.
I love your tail as well. I don't want to hear you talking bad about yourself. Do you understand? You both are very different from each other, but you're beautiful in your own ways. Yes, I'm sad that you can't go out into the world as Daisy does, but that doesn't mean that you aren't good or worthy.
You're right, Charles,
Valerie cried.
I'm perfect the way that you made me, and my tail and ears won't make me feel bad about it anymore. I'll just have to keep reminding myself that before long, the world will be filled with other monster girls like me, and I won't have to hide in your laboratory anymore.
That's good. I want you to be confident in your body and self, I smiled. Both of you. I may have created you and thought you were beautiful in your own ways, but I want you to think it too.
We love you so much, Charles.
Daisy breathed, scooted closer, and wrapped her arms around me.
You mean everything to us, and we'd do anything for you, no matter what it is. Just ask.
Hey, wait a minute.
Valerie giggled, eyed the two of us, and then flushed a bright pink.
Did something happen? Daisy is never this touchy-feely, even after I told her about our bedroom fun. Charles, Daisy, did you?
Well,
Daisy stammered.
Charles and I.
I glanced over my shoulder, felt the heat pass over my cheeks, but grinned down at the ash-blonde woman. Valerie's oceanic eyes widened, her mouth dropped open, snapped shut, and then curled up into a wide smile.
It happened?
The feline woman squeaked.
It finally happened! Oh, I'm so happy! Yes! Daisy, tell me everything. How did it feel? What did you think?
I chuckled lightly as Valerie reached up to the driver's seat, grabbed the fabric of Daisy's dress, and pulled the brunette into the back of the wagon to gossip. I held the reins loosely in my hands, kept my eyes on the road ahead of me, and listened to the excited conversation behind me. I'd been to the way station a handful of times before, so I was somewhat familiar with the road there, and once I turned onto it, I didn't need the map. It had been a beautiful day when we left Josephine's mines, but as we rode closer to the location, the sky darkened, and in the distance, thunder boomed. I raised my head, studied the gray, bulbous clouds overhead, and then glanced over my shoulder at my two women. It looks like it's going to rain. If it starts, use one of the tarps to cover your heads.
What about you, Charles?
Valerie frowned.
You're going to get all wet if you don't cover up.
I'll be all right. A bit of water won't hurt. The two women grappled with the tarp, lifted it up from behind it, draped it over their shoulders, and then lifted it so that their heads were shielded from the oncoming rain. I jumped as fabric was draped over my shoulders, tucked over my head, and I grasped the fabric to peek over into the bed of the wagon. Valerie shifted back into position behind her sister, giggled softly, and then smiled up at me sweetly.
Just because the water won't hurt you doesn't mean we want you getting soaked,
Daisy explained.
You might catch cold, and then, well, I want you to be in top physical condition.
Thank you, I murmured, turned back toward the road, and tightened my grip on the reins. Just as I predicted, the sky opened up with a crackle of lightning. Rain poured down in sheets so thick that it obscured the road ahead of us in swatches of gray. I slowed the horse down, lowered the fabric tarp over my head, and squinted my eyes against the spray that hit my face. Thankfully, from the familiar trees and landmarks at the sides of the road, I knew we were close to the way station, and if the rain continued once we arrived, we'd have some cover while we switched out the letters.
How much farther?
Valerie shouted over the noise. Just around the bend, I boomed. Less than a minute, we should be... Whoa! I pulled back on the reins at the last second as a black carriage appeared out of the rain in front of us. Curses fell from my lips. I jerked the reins to the left and then the right as I avoided hitting them straight on. Thankfully, the horses halted right on time, and they came within inches of colliding with the back panel of the all-black wagon. Whoa! Whoa! I shouted down at the beasts, and one of them whinnied angrily, lifted off the ground, and shifted the reins in my hands. The carriage in front of us carried on as if nothing had happened. Not that I could fault them. The rain had blinded me from seeing them on the road. I held tightly to the slick reins, called out to the riled horses, waited until it calmed down, and then urged it forward. As the rain began to let up, I spied the way station in the distance, set my sights on it, and hurried our horses toward it. Val! I called over my shoulder. You know what to do!
Yep!
The ash-blonde woman nodded. Out of the corner of my eye, the catwoman faded from view, and I barely noticed her against the dark fabric of the tarp. If it had been anyone else with an untrained eye, they wouldn't have seen her at all in the hail of cold rain. Though, earlier, when we were outside of Josephine's tent, I hadn't known she was there until she spoke up. Had her invisibility gotten better over time? It seemed so, as I took a second peek over my shoulder at the place where the ash-blonde woman should have been. I turned back around, tightened my grip on the reins, and angled them toward the off-ramp toward the way station. The small rest stop was nothing more than a small outcropping of three businesses, one of them being a combined restaurant and tavern. Even though the road we traveled on was heavily used, only a few people bustled in and out of the small buildings on the side of the road. Ahead of us, the same black carriage from before swerved to the left, bumped precariously onto the ramp, and rolled to a stop in the muddy dirt.
Whoa!
I shouted to the mares.
Whoa there!
The reins were slick in my hands, but the beasts responded immediately, slowed, and then slid to a stop in the muddy path. I tied the horses off to one of the posts, turned toward the bed of the wagon, lifted my arms, grabbed Daisy by the waist, and then set her down on a less muddy patch of the ground. I turned, gazed over the few carriages in the lot, sighed, and then turned back to the brunette.
"It doesn't look like they've arrived just yet," I whispered. "We'll just have to wait them out, then. Do you have the letter?"
Daisy's reply was drowned out by the heavy rain for a second. She leaned her head back, stared at me with those luminous golden eyes, and opened her lips to speak again.
"Thank the science," I breathed as the rain finally started to let up.
"What did you say again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you."
Charles, the letter.
The brunette's voice was cut off as the black carriage's door slammed open, swung wide, and then cracked against the wooden side. A black boot stepped out, squished into the deep mud with a loud, feminine scoff. But I turned away with disinterest. I grunted out of annoyance, placed a hand on the bear girl's shoulder, and nodded for her to go on.
Well, well, well.
A sultry, venomous voice growled.
What do we have here? Charles Rayburn and Miss Daisy Browning? What a lovely coincidence.
I knew that voice, even though I'd only heard it a few times before, and I didn't need to turn around to know who it was standing behind us. Chief Constable Hortensia! I pasted on a fake smile, turned, and then bowed low to her. What luck to run into you here!
Yes,
the scarlet-haired woman drawled out.
How lucky of you. I had no idea you'd be in the area today. Why have you come here?
The question may have been asked casually, but it was anything but that. Hortensia may have been a high-power woman, but she certainly wasn't stupid, and I had to prepare myself for an interrogation.
Is it any of your business?
Daisy snapped. Hortensia's single eye widened at the brunette's tone. Her scarlet eyebrows raised, and the corners of her lips pinched downward into a grimace.
I am the chief constable,
Hortensia breathed.
I'm allowed to ask civilians such questions if I wish. I only observed that the two of you had left your usual spot in Edenheart, and it piqued my curiosity. Is that so bad? If you need to know.
The bear girl scoffed.
We were out at Josephine's mines for the past day and a half, repairing her broken elevator. Happy? Of course, of course.
The woman with the eye patch snickered.
I hadn't forgotten that the good doctor made contracts with the three aristocrats. But that still doesn't answer my question. Why are you here, at this way station, 25 miles away from the mines, in the opposite direction? Again!
The gorgeous brunette snapped.
It's none of your—
My mistress was feeling a bit peckish, I smiled. So we decided to drive a few miles here to grab something to eat and then return home. Hortensia's plucked eyebrow above the black eye patch raised, her red lips puckered, and her jade eye narrowed on my face for a moment. It was clear to me that she wasn't buying anything we'd just said, and I had to wonder, why was the chief constable so suspicious of us? To the outside world, we'd done nothing wrong. We weren't criminals or killers, but somehow the chief constable seemed to see right through us. From the way Hortensia sucked in her cheeks, smacked her lips, and then aimed her single jade eye toward her carriage, it was clear she had no way to poke holes in our story. I wasn't sure if the chief constable treated us this way because she simply didn't like us, or if she actually had something on us and hadn't admitted it yet. The latter made me the most anxious. I'd been so thorough when we left the crime scene, but it made me wonder. Had we been as careful as I'd thought we were? Had we left some sign or clue that'd prove we'd been there?
Why are you here, Hortensia?
Daisy mocked.
I don't have to answer that.
The scarlet-haired beauty chuckled.
But if you have to know, I am here to accompany a letter back to Edenheart for the Duchess.
For the love of science, could I never catch a break? Every single time I needed to get something done, one of these atrocious women stepped in my way. If it had just been the courier and his guards, we would have been fine. But now, Hortensia too? I wasn't even sure if switching the letter would be possible. And if I couldn't switch out the letter, then my life would quickly fall apart.
But,
Hortensia sighed, placed her hands on her lips, shielded her eye from the fast-falling rain, and gazed toward the road.
It seems they've been delayed by the weather, which is vexing. Edany wants that letter as soon as possible. Its contents are of the utmost importance.
We already knew what the letter contained. The news that Daisy Browning, now living in Edenheart, was not the same one from the east. And if that piece of paper fell into the Duchess's hands, it'd be the end of my world.
Oh, Is that them?
The scarlet-haired woman asked.
It seems that the weather hasn't affected them at all. How wonderful.
An all-white carriage with details in gold pulled into the way station, rolled in the mud, and then slowed to a stop. The door opened slowly, 5 men piled out, and then a woman dressed all in white. The men helped her down, brushed off her intricate embroidered jacket, glanced toward us menacingly, and then turned in unison toward the tavern.
Ah, this must be then, though I am surprised Edeny sent a female courier.
Hortensia sighed.
Hello there, I'm Chief Constable Hortensia. I'm here to receive the letter.
The woman, clothed in white, snapped her head in the Chief Constable's direction, grimaced, rolled her eyes, and moved on without speaking. The courier was petite, almost childlike in size, with chin-length straight black hair. A pair of round spectacles rested on the bridge of her button nose, and when she glanced in our direction, I saw that her enormous eyes were the same blinding white as her clothes. The tiny woman wore knee-length light leather boots, a pair of dark pantyhose, a pristine, ruffled white skirt, an admiral's jacket with large copper buttons, and a jaunty tri-corner hat with a golden pin with the queen's crest pressed into the metal.
Hello,
the chief constable snarked.
I'm here to receive the letter for Duchess Edeny.
The woman, surrounded by guards, paused, kept her head aimed straight forward, lifted a single gloved hand in Hortensia's direction, and then hissed out of the corner of her mouth.
I have had a very long journey,
the female courier barked.
Please do not speak to me until after I've rested and had a refreshing drink. You can't speak to me that way,
Hortensia shouted.
I'm the chief constable. I demand that you address me with respect and honor. And I am the queen's royal courier.
The petite woman jeered.
Since I move from city to city and am tasked with delivering private correspondence between the noble class, I am not under your jurisdiction, which ultimately means I am not under your control. Now please, allow me to enter into this fine establishment, have a drink, and then I will speak to you about the letter.
The courier brushed past Hortensia along with her large group of guards, glanced over her shoulder at the chief constable in disgust, scoffed, and then pushed on until she disappeared inside of the tavern. I kept my eyes glued onto the bed of our wagon, but I saw no shift or change in the air that would reveal Valerie. "Shall we?" I asked, offered my arm to Daisy, and then led her toward the tavern. "The faster we eat, the faster we can get back on the road."
"Charles,"
the brunette whispered under her breath.
"What are we going to do? If we're inside with the chief constable and the courier, we can't switch the letters."
"Don't worry. I have a plan." I swiveled my eyes toward Hortensia, peeked into the tavern where the courier settled herself down at a small table, and then smiled. I held tightly onto the brunette, grinned widely as I angled my body sideways, and opened my mouth to speak.
"I heard something quite funny, Miss Browning," I stated loud enough for the chief constable to hear.
I slipped my free hand into my trouser pocket, wrapped my hand around the bottle I'd placed there earlier when I concocted the elixir for Josephine, and held it tightly in my palm. I'd put it in my pocket by mistake while I was putting away my ingredients and meant to put it back in my medical bag, but it seemed that the small, full vial would be useful in this situation.
"And what is that, Charles?"
Daisy asked.
"I heard a rumor," I chuckled, "that the women from the East can drink more than those from the capital. Have you heard that, too?"
Daisy's brows furrowed in confusion. Her golden eyes wandered over my face, but I signaled for her to go along with me with a vigorous nod.
"Oh, yes,"
the brunette giggled lightly.
"I've heard that rumor, too, and I can assure you it's true. It's almost as if us women from the East have a second belly only for alcohol."
I peeked out of the corner of my eye at Hortensia. The scarlet-haired woman's mouth pulled down at the edges, and her leather-gloved hands tightened into fists.
"It's almost a shame. I bet you could drink any woman from the capital under the table. I've seen you drink 20 ales in one sitting. I bet no other woman from the capital could match that.
You could outdrink a woman from the capital?
Hortensia scoffed.
We're skilled drinkers from the moment we're strong enough to lift a filled tankard. Oh?
Daisy snickered.
I sincerely doubt that. We women from the East are given ale as babies to soothe us to sleep. I doubt you can boast that.
We already knew that Hortensia was strong-willed and prideful, but an insult to the women of her home city? No, that was unforgivable. If we could push her just a little without giving away our intentions, we'd have her in the palm of our hands.
Are you challenging me?
Hortensia barked.
I've outdrank grown brutes before. I could easily outdrink a tiny eastern woman like you.
Then a challenge it is. Shall we ask the courier to join in? She has no tie to any of the lands. It would be a fair fight between the three of you.
Oh, I'm sure the courier would love to join in.
Hortensia grumbled, brushed past us, and threw open the doors to the tavern. I grabbed Daisy's hand, raced toward the door, but only stopped when the brunette tugged me a few steps back.
Charles,
the bear girl whispered.
I can't do this. I've never drank before. Do you remember when Valerie brought up all the alcohol from the wine cellar? I only had one glass, and it knocked me out. If I do this, I'll be an embarrassment.
You're going to win. Don't worry, I assured her.
How do you know?
The brunette gasped.
I can't.
You'll win with this.
I grinned, glanced toward the door, pulled out the vial from my pocket, held it in my hand, and showed it to her.
What is it, Charles?
Daisy asked.
It's a special concoction from when I still worked my stall on the streets, I grinned. It's a brew I made myself. No one else knows the recipe.
But that doesn't explain what it does,
the beautiful woman whimpered.
I call it Dally. Each letter signifies the different ingredients I put in it, but that's beside the point. You sprinkle it into alcohol, and the liquor in the drink evaporates instantly.
But what does that mean?
Daisy shook her head. When they pass you the drink, I wave my hand over it, sprinkle some of this into the liquid, and your ales will become non-alcoholic. You'll be able to outdrink both the chief constable and the courier. Then, once they're in a drunken stupor, we'll sneak outside, switch the letters, and ride home with no one the wiser.
Daisy's expression cleared, and her lips turned up into a broad smile. She threw herself at me, pressed soft kisses to my cheeks, and then leaned away to gaze up into my face.
Charles Rayburn,
the brunette breathed.
How in the world did you get so brilliant?